When Joseph and Mary presented Jesus in the temple, we read in the Gospel of St. Luke that there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." This prophecy of Simeon was certainly fulfilled. Jesus truly is the light of revelation to the whole world and the glory of his people Israel, yet he was also a sign that was rejected. He was, as the prophet Isaiah foretold, a man of sorrows. And yet we know that his sorrows were not in vain. Through his sufferings, culminating with his death on the cross and glorious resurrection, Jesus has washed away our sins and won for us redemption. As we read in the Gospel of St. John, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And Simeon's prophecy about Mary was also fulfilled. Suffering is indeed like a sword that passes through your soul. And Mary's vocation to be the Mother of God was filled with these piercing sorrows. The spiritual tradition of the Church speaks of the seven principal sorrows of Our Lady as seven swords that pierced her immaculate heart. The first was the very words of Simeon that tore through her, the revelation that her beloved Son, Jesus, was to be a sign that would be rejected. Her second sorrow was the flight into Egypt, knowing the whole time that the demonic jealousy of Herod was bent on murdering her infant son. She suffered yet a third sorrow in Jesus' young life when he went missing for 3 days and was only later found in the temple, foreshadowing for her the 3 days his body would lay in the tomb. A fourth sword of sorrow impaled her when she met Jesus as he carried his cross to his place of execution, battered and bloodied. And a fifth, as she was crucified spiritually with her crucified son, watching him die the horrible death of crucifixion. Her sixth sorrow was receiving the dead body of her son into her arms at the foot of the cross. And finally, the last sword of sorrow to pierce her heart was helping place the body of her son in the tomb. It is difficult to even begin to comprehend the immaculate love and maternal suffering that Mary experienced in these moments. Yet her sorrows were not in vain either. She perfectly exemplified the words that St. Paul would utter many years later. "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the Church." What is lacking in Christ's sufferings? Our sufferings, for we are members of his mystical body, the Church. And when we unite our sufferings to Jesus, our head, he uses them to save souls. In addition to the gift of healing, this is one of the ways Jesus fulfills the messianic promises of the Old Testament to overcome suffering in the world. Through healing, Jesus takes away our suffering, and through redemptive suffering, by uniting it to himself when we offer it to him, he transforms it into something good. Our Lady united herself perfectly to the mission of Jesus through her sorrows. In fact, as blessed Pope John Paul II said, by giving birth to the one who is destined to achieve man's redemption, by nourishing him, presenting him in the temple and suffering with him as he died on the cross, in a holy, singular way, she cooperated in the work of the Savior. This is what the Rosary of Seven Sorrows is all about, uniting our hearts to Mary's sorrows and offering them to Jesus, offering them so that everyone might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. In meditating on the sorrows of Mary, we are at the same time slaking the thirst of Jesus for love and for souls, and we are allowing Mary to teach us the true meaning and value of suffering in our lives. This devotion began in the early 13th century with the founders of the Servite Order. Prompted by an apparition of Mary, they embraced the sorrows of Mary as their principal devotion. The Rosary of Seven Sorrows was one of the primary ways this devotion was expressed. It became a very popular devotion in the Middle Ages. According to St. Brigid of Sweden, seven promises were made to those who meditate on Our Lady's tears and sorrows. The Blessed Virgin grants seven graces to souls who honor her daily by saying seven Hail Marys while meditating on her tears and sorrows. These are, first, I will grant peace to their families. Number two, they will be enlightened about the divine mysteries. Three, I will console them in their pains and I will accompany them in their work. Four, I will give them as much as they ask for, as long as it does not oppose the adorable will of my divine Son or the sanctification of their souls. Five, I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy, and I will protect them at every instant of their lives. 6. I will visibly help them at the moment of their death. They will see the face of their mother. 7. I have obtained this grace from my divine Son, that those who propagate this devotion to my tears and sorrows will be taken directly from this earthly life to eternal happiness, since all their sins will be forgiven and my Son will be their eternal consolation and joy. This devotion saw a brief revival in certain parts of the world during the late 19th and early 20th centuries, but for the most part had disappeared. It is now experiencing resurgence due to a plea from the Blessed Mother herself. Allow me to explain. On November 28, 1981, at 12:35 in the afternoon, something remarkable happened in the tiny village of Kibeho in the Central African country of Rwanda. The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to a high school student named Alphonsine Mumureke at a very humble Catholic boarding school. While serving in the school dining room, Alphonsine heard a voice calling to her, "My daughter." When she turned to the voice, she was enveloped in the vision of a woman she describes in this way. She had a seamless white dress and also a white veil on her head. Her hands were clasped together on her breast and her fingers pointed to the sky. I could not determine the color of her skin, but she was of incomparable beauty. Alphonsine asked her, "Who are you?" And the woman replied, "I am the mother of the Word. I have come to calm you because I have heard your prayers. I would like your friends to have faith because they do not believe strongly enough." By March 2, 1982, two other students from the school, Natalie Muka Mazimpaka and Mary Claire Mukangongo, were also having apparitions of Mary. Signs and wonders abounded, and Our Lady brought messages from heaven that would have momentous consequences for Rwanda and the whole world. On June 29, 2001, the local bishop, Augustine Misago of Ginkangoro, presented his declaration on the authenticity of the apparitions. A few days later, he announced his declaration publicly, saying, "Yes, the Virgin Mary did appear in Kibeho on November 28, 1981, and then over the course of the following 6 months." On July 2nd of the same year, the Holy See officially released this declaration, thereby approving the apparitions as worthy of belief. Many people who have heard of these apparitions are aware that Our Lady warned of great dangers to the people of Rwanda. Many have even heard that Our Lady described with startling accuracy the events of the ethnic genocide that engulfed that country some 13 years later. But what many people do not know is that Our Lady also made an urgent appeal to the whole world. She brought messages of maternal love and warning that speak directly to each of us. She made an urgent call to repentance and to the conversion of hearts, warning that the world is very unwell, in rebellion against God, and racing to its loss. Too many sins are committed, and there is neither love nor peace. Our Lady is deeply saddened and afflicted because of our incredulity and impenitence. She complained of our bad behavior, characterized by dissolution of morality, dissensions, complacence in evil, and continual disobedience to the commandments of God. In response to this, she asked us to pray unceasingly, to pray for those who do not pray, and to pray for the Church, because strong tribulations are waiting it in the coming time. She also reminded us of the importance of redemptive suffering, that it is a means of expiating the sin of the world and a way to participate in the sufferings of Jesus for the salvation of the world. She invited us to live this message in a concrete way, to accept suffering with faith and joy, to mortify ourselves, and to renounce various pleasures for the conversion of the world. As in so many other approved apparitions, she asked for our regular and sincere recitation of the Rosary. But she also asked that in addition to the regular Rosary, we pray the Rosary of the Sorrows of the Virgin Mary, especially on Tuesdays and Fridays. She told the seers that she likes this Rosary a great deal. She explained to them that it was known in the past, but it had fallen into oblivion. Our Lady of Kibeho wants it to be put in honor and spread in the Church. It is a very human thing to draw close to those who console us in our sufferings, to embrace in our hearts those who weep with us, who unite themselves to our trials for the sake of friendship and genuine love. It is very natural to develop a special bond with those who stand by us in our sorrows. It is the same, only more so, with Jesus and Mary. And by praying this rosary devoutly, this is exactly what we are doing. I believe this is precisely why the Rosary of Seven Sorrows is such a beautiful and powerful devotion. As you recite this rosary, I pray that these sentiments taken from the famous hymn, Stabat Mater Dolorosa, will fill your hearts and minds. O Thou Mother, Fount of Love, touch my spirit from above, make my heart with Thine accord. Make me feel as Thou hast felt. Make my soul to glow and melt with the love of Christ my Lord. Holy Mother, pierce me through. In my heart each wound renew of my Savior crucified. Let me share with Thee His pain, who for all my sins was slain, who for me in torments died. Let me mingle tears with Thee, mourning Him who mourned for me, all the days that I may live. By the cross with Thee to stay, there with Thee to weep and pray, is all I ask of Thee to give.